This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life. I hope during this time of the year that you are taking time to rest. Rest is so critical, especially during the days we're living in, and I was kind of reflecting about it the other day. I mean, what has this year been like? There's been a lot of chaos and whiplash and changing directions and tariffs and all the crazy going on in the government. There's a lot of lies. Violence has gone through the roof. The U.S., now averages nearly 2 mass shootings a day. And sexual sin in the church continues unimpeded. So I'm just going to read a couple news articles, headlines. Former Baptist University VP indicted for lying about grooming and rape accusations. A former Truett McConnell University vice president who allegedly groomed and raped a student at the Georgia Baptist School was indicted Monday for lying to police about the relationship. So these are all recent, just as I've done before on this show. Next, former Houston youth minister arrested on child porn charges. This was on ABC. Central Point Christian Academy teacher arrested in Osceola County. This was in Florida. Upstate South Carolina youth pastor sentenced for filming minors in the church bathrooms. So the enemy does not take a break when it's Christmas time or the holidays. And what happened with Rob Reiner, I mean, that was just a shock. And the environment we're in is so traumatic these days. And so today I have Rebecca, my daughter, who also works with the ministry, back with me. Thank you for joining me again, Becca.
Good to be here.
So I touched a little bit on what we're going through and what we're looking at in the days that we're in. And I've been told about a 6-7 song, and I knew nothing about this, and you do. So I'm going to have you describe what this is.
First off, I never thought I'd hear my dad talk about this or that I'd be talking about this on a radio station, because I also knew little to nothing about it. I just knew it was a cringy trend that young people were doing, and come to find out that the artist who released the song, and it's just like a small section of the song, he just says 6-7 and that's it, I think. But the rap artist, he is into a lot of dark things. Like, he talks about, he hears spirits, he talks to spirits, but just the look in his eyes is like dead. And he wears these masks that have like goat faces on it that are demonic. And he openly talks about this. It's not like he's hiding it. And the way that he performs is demonic. And so this trend that just seemed innocent, like these kids are saying 6-7, is tied to this artist who is into these dark things. And of course, Satan has his way with this, because is what I believe Satan was the angel of music, wasn't he? I want to
say angel of light. He masquerades as an angel of light in the Bible, if that's what you're talking about.
Something like that, yeah. So just the way that music has a hold on so much these days, I think he has so much ground with music, and this just proves it. This artist just blew up and is trending over just two numbers, but it's so demonic. It's tied to these dark forces over it. Hmm.
And when you're saying kids, what at what age range you're talking about this?
I've seen early as like five to, it's just a big trend. So it's like all ages, really.
And kids are just saying the word six, seven, just to kind of relate to that?
Yep, that's it. It's just, it's like a meaningless, means nothing that I didn't even know what it was until recently where I saw a pastor talking about it. So that's all I know about it. It's just like, it was just this trend that kids are just saying 6-7 just to get it. It's just funny or something, but it blew up like out of nowhere. It was like instant. It's just a simple little thing. But if you look back into the artist, it's scary how what he's into and what he's tied to and how open he is about it.
So basically the demonic realm is getting increasing exposure to our youth.
Right. With parents not even knowing about that, it just seems innocent and parents are joining in on it. But they probably don't do much research about it either.
And so one of the reasons I had you bring this up on the show is because a lot of parents are not going to be aware of this. And your sister told me about this, and I was like, what? But the occult's been marketed to youth for years now, right? I mean, you've mm-hmm. told me about seeing ads on social media.
Yeah, teenagers into witchcraft, and I'm not even looking for it, and I get it. So it's so easy to find. Hmm.
And so our listeners know Rebecca is 23 and I'm 40 years older. So I think it's helpful from time to time to bring another perspective onto the show because there are a lot of things we're not aware of and we need to be aware of. And we need to understand the spiritual battleground and we're in. And the enemy doesn't take a vacation for the holidays. And if you hear your kids saying stuff like this, 6-7, that needs to proke your ear to like, hey, what is this about? Do you know what you're talking about? And mm-hmm. have you been watching this guy's, he's a musician?
Mm-hmm. He's a rap artist, I think. Hmm. I don't know his name, but yeah, that's all I know is that he's a rap artist. And I think this kind of blew up for him too, but
So we're in the month of December, and this is a very difficult time for many people. And so the things we just discussed, and then you add in the church, 70% of Christian men, as a survey show, viewing pornography, putting a lot of marriages and families at risk. This is a very difficult time for a lot of people, especially if you're right in the middle of trying to recover from that stuff. And if you're listening in for the first time and wondering, who are you? Blazing Grace, we are a ministry to people who struggle with porn addiction, sex addiction, adultery, any kind of sexual issue. We have people from all over the world coming to us for help. We have groups by Zoom, counseling we do by Zoom and in person. I've written 9 books. We have ministry partners in Finland, Austria, Italy, and God has opened mission fields for us in Europe, and there are very few ministries like what we do in Europe, so God has opened doors for us for that, and so this is a part of what we do, but the other piece is that we just find that a lot of believers are not aware of the intense spiritual battle that is set against them and their kids. So part of what you do is this show is to help you see that This is we're in a real firefight here, and the enemy doesn't play nice. He doesn't play fair. There's no fair in war. He comes to destroy. And I was thinking about this message, this show today, and I was reminded of Luke 17. I'll start at verse 26. And where Jesus is speaking, he says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying, selling, planting, building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back. And I want to key into these next three words. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. Remember Lot's wife. Back when God was going to raise Sodom and Gomorrah to the ground, he told Lot and his wife to run and not to look back. And Lot's wife looked back, and she was immediately turned to a pillar of salt. So what does looking back represent? It represents a yearning for the false comforts and pleasures and entertainments of this world. It represents the world system. And we have to remember, she was yearning for a place where there was sexual depravity everywhere. The stuff that was going, there's violence everywhere. And this is not our home if we are believers. So we who are Christians have to make a choice at some point to break up with the world. I don't mean to like go hide in a hole or, you know, build a dugout in the basement or something. I'm talking about looking to the world and its false comforts for satisfaction, for life and joy and peace, and going hard after God with everything we've got. And the question is, what thing that came to my mind is it's Christmas time. And so usually what happens is there's a big binge on material stuff, you know, the gifts. And then what happens a week later or 2 weeks later, stuff gets thrown in a corner or hardly ever touched. And so what is giving you satisfaction in your life? What is giving you peace? What is giving you joy? It's not going to be the things in this world. It's not going to be any kind of sexual sin. And so what is your take on all this?
I think that's a very important message for this time, especially. You know, I keep hearing a lot of people saying that, you know, Jesus is coming back soon. Jesus is coming back soon. Like, it could be any day now. And I'm like, we can't keep focusing on this guessing game of he's coming back today or he's coming back in a week. You know, we just have to, all we can do is just be ready. And I think that goes with that is what you're doing with your time now and being prepared for when he comes back, not trying to guess because none of us know. There are signs, but we don't know. So I think being prepared, spending time with him, having your priorities straight is a good reminder for this time of year when everything's chaotic and focused on different things and all of that.
Well, and yeah, Jesus is coming back, but if, like right now, I'm reading through the book of Revelation again, and there's a lot of suffering and trials and sorrow that's going to happen before he comes back. Mm-hmm. So are we prepared for that? Are we prepared to go through that? Are we prepared to, for whatever level of suffering might be coming our way? And are we in the church equipping people for this?
Well, it's Christmas time. We don't want to think about that. most churches aren't, I don't think. But I don't think people realize that aspect of all of the tribulations that are going to happen first, even though times are really hard right now. It's just going to keep getting worse, unfortunately. But yeah, are we ready for that? I don't. That's a question that people need to ask themselves. And
I was thinking about this as like, man, this is kind of like a depressing to even think about all this. But then God kind of lightly tapped me on the shoulder as I was reading through Revelation, and he reminded me this is not our home. And there's an immense amount of blessings coming for those of us who are Christ followers. And I'm just going to read from Revelation 2 and 3 some of those blessings that are coming our way in eternity. In Revelation 2, 7, Jesus is talking to the church of Ephesus, and he just challenged them about not making him their first love. And then after that, he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." And that word paradise of God, that just like, wow, I want that. Eating of the tree of life and conquers. What does conquered mean? Conquer means, in part, conquering our flesh, because my flesh always wants to go the wrong way. And there's a daily battle against it. And there's also the battle against the spiritual battle against the enemy. And then there's the world system, dealing with that. So we have to stay strong in God. And there are rewards for those who do. And then Revelation 2:17, after Jesus talks to Pergamum, "To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it." Man, I want that. I mean, don't you? To get to paradise and then have the Lord hand you something like that. Just amazing. Revelation 3:5-6, Jesus finishes talking to Sardis. "The one who conquers will be clothed in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." White garments, eternal life. And then Revelation 3:12, "The one who conquers," notice how this is a theme. When Jesus is talking to the church, he's not saying, "I want you to be really nice, soft, milquetoast, milk dud people who are no threat to the gates of hell." Conquerors, I'm thinking of about all-out prayer and spiritual warrior here. Somebody who's committed, all out, all in, wants to surrender their life to God and make their life count all the way through to the end. Broken bread and poured out wine, as Oswald Chambers would say. Revelation 3:12, Jesus finishes talking to the church of Philadelphia. He says, "The one who conquers," again, "I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name." So eternity is forever, and the few moments we have on earth just last a little bit. And Colossians 3, "Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on this earth." So the question is, Rebecca, are we living like this earth is not our home?
I think short answer, no. There are obviously people who are living like that, but what you see every day is, no, we're not. There's so much chaos, like you mentioned in the beginning of the show, just how dark times have gotten and how violent we are. And we shouldn't be violent towards each other, because it's not about against flesh and blood. It's spiritual warfare that's going on that's causing all of this. It's to get us distracted from what you just read. Hmm.
So what are some of those distractions that choke people?
Social media, I think, is probably number one, because it has access to everything. You can get anything and everything on social media. Wasting your time, like on social media and TV and all that. Sins like pornography, and that is a big distraction. I think just maybe partying as well, all stuff like that ties into that, are big distractions, and not having meaningful relationships with people and, you know, spending your time with God every single day, those important things.
Mm. So some of this is, we're not really building our life around the priorities we say they are if we say God is really first?
I think just a general Christians, I don't think they're equipped to do that in modern churches. Modern churches are, I don't think, as biblical as they could be, because they want to fill all the seats, and, you know, but then once you get new Christians, they're not equipping those new Christians. I think they're more worried about getting people saved, which is great and what is needed, but you need to equip those people as well in the real world and not just, you know, serve and tithe and be good. That's not what Christianity is about. Mm. Those are important, but that's not it.
Is there much of a challenge that you see in, I don't know, the Christian world to just give everything, pour it all out for the Lord, pour your life out?
Pour your wallet out is what I see a lot in churches. But no, not really that, as much as we need to be challenged, because that's where you grow. But the recent church service I've been to is always talking about, we need money. Which, of course, support your churches, but that shouldn't be your main message. Hmm. We Christians need to be equipped more than just tithing. Hmm.
So knowing the where we are in history and knowing that things are not getting better, I'm kind of going to wind down with reading from Jesus' words in Revelation 2, 9 to 10. He says, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you're rich. For those of you who are suffering, he knows what you're going through. You're not alone. And the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. And fear is a big tool of the enemy. Because once he can get somebody crippled into fear, then they become paralyzed or worthless. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful unto death. Be faithful unto God. Don't let yourself drift. Don't get choked by the things of this world. Don't get choked by... the average American I've read spends 5 hours a day on their phone. That's a pretty big choke. I will give you the crown of life. That's what we're aiming for. Not binging on The Chosen or binging on whatever the next TV series is. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers, there it is again, will not be hurt by the second death. And part of conquering means we have to become prayer warriors. We have to make prayer, put it at the top of our priority list. And I'll often challenge believers when I speak in churches, spend an hour in prayer and an hour with God every single day. And I can tell from the looks of some of them that they blank out, like, I don't have time for that. And if you don't, then something is missing, because Jesus went away often alone and he'd spend an entire night in prayer. He modeled that for us. Your prayer life should be your number one priority, and prayer should be a thing throughout the day. If you want to make an impact on the kingdom and be aligned with God, prayer is the key. But we don't have much in the way of prayer meetings in churches. So, Becca, 45 seconds. Anything you want to say?
I think that's perfect what you just said. Just being faithful and keeping that, and keep conquering and just keep praying, and being faithful is important these days.
And I'm a big believer that we need to bring the prayer meeting back in church. And so, my friends, let me ask you, when's the last time you participated in a prayer meeting? Prayer is a big part of what we do here at Blazing Grace. I mean, we'd be dead without it. So I want to challenge and encourage every one of you, get involved with a prayer meeting. I've encountered God's presence far more in a prayer meeting than I have in 99% of the church meetings I've been to in my life. Get involved in a prayer meeting. So, my friends, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.